Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, November 27th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe arrives in Paris, France, for the United Nations Climate Change Summit, where world leaders are seeking to stop global warming.
He has come with the minister responsible for environment. He's also accompanied by the foreign minister. He arrived before midday.
The Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe blasts journalists who accepted food hampers from First Lady Grace Mugabe, saying the move is unethical and disgraceful.
It compromises their work because are they going to report impartially? There are issues of bias. What are they going to write? Is there anything that they would write objectively about the person who has been offering them these goodies?
And Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa says Harare is doing all it can to remove obstacles that are blocking foreign investors from Zimbabwe. This and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe arrived in Paris this morning ahead of the 21st Climate Change Summit that begins Monday. World leaders from every nation are gathering for the United Nations Climate Change Conference, a 10-day meeting of historic proportions that seeks many in Africa in particular are hoping the summit will lead to a historic global agreement on climate change. The goal of the talks is to stop global warming. The past 3 decades have already been the hottest on record, and 2015 is expected to set a scorching new high, according to experts, as El Nino thrives. World leaders, including United States President Barack Obama, will attend the crucial meeting. Mr. Mugabe's delegation includes his wife, Grace, and Environment Minister Opamuchinguri Kashiri, and Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarasho Mengegui, among others. Mr. Mugabe was expected to touch down at Le Bourget Airport, but was forced to land at Charles de Gaulle due to reduced visibility. Zimbabwe's ambassador to France, Rudoma Belchitiga, confirmed in an interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the president has arrived in Paris for the crucial meeting where he will present Africa's position and needs on climate change mitigation to world leaders.
Yes, the president is in Paris for the COP21 conference, and he has come with the minister responsible for environment. He's also accompanied by the foreign minister.
What time did he arrive in Paris?
He arrived before midday.
And are you at liberty to comment about the summit, or that has to be done by someone else?
I am not the special. There's a specialist minister for environment. She is around. She's the best person to comment on that.
Zimbabwe's ambassador to France, Rudoma Belchitiga, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Paris, France. The Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe today blasted journalists who accepted food hampers from First Lady Grace Mugabe, saying the move is unethical and disgraceful. Dozens of reporters from both private and public media registered for the donations after Ms. Mugabe pledged to extend her controversial benevolence to them at a rally in Mbare last week. And yesterday, the First Lady made good on her promise. Each newsman received a 50 kg bag of Chinese rice, 4 liters of cooking oil, 4 bars of bathing soap, and a bag of washing powder. And the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe is now taking umbrage, calling on all recipients to return the gifts for their own sake and for the integrity of journalism. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached the Voluntary Media Council Chief Lofty Dube, who says journalists should not accept gifts as that may compromise their objectivity.
It's quite unacceptable for starters. It's unethical. One thing which would be of interest is that if these hampers of food were first of all declared to their employers, if it's a reporter from the Herald, was it declared to the Zimpepa's management? And if the management allowed the reporters to accept that, that would be a calamity because it's very unethical and we do not expect journalists to go that low in terms of accepting such donations from whoever they are coming from. They are portraying a picture of desperation and it's unacceptable ethically.
What exactly, Mr. Dube, does such a kind of overtures do to journalists? How does it compromise their work?
Compromises their work because are they going to report impartially? There are issues of bias. What are they going to write? Is there anything that they would write objectively about the person who has been offering them these goodies? It also has an impact in terms of the quality of journalism. Because what you then do get on the newspapers, you get these puff pieces, these PR pieces that we normally do get on the media, where you question the intention and the purity of the reporter in writing such stories. It's quite unethical.
Any message for these journalists?
It's a disgrace to the world profession. Those that might not have used any of those gifts or donations to return them and reclaim their integrity. Because ultimately, it's going to be a talking point in the media. Everyone is going to talk about this. Could you imagine the integrity of some of these people? It will live with them for all their lives.
Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe boss Loft Dube on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. The country's political parties are deeply divided in their reaction to the $4 billion 2016 budget proposed by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa yesterday. The ruling ZANU-PF party has hailed it as key in stimulating growth. But the opposition MDCT, in a statement issued by its Economic Affairs Secretary Weber Chinyadza, called it a damn squib. He said the infighting in ZANU-PF and various government ministries cannot aid the country to move in one direction, ensuring production and productivity. But ZANU-PF Uzumba Member of Parliament Simbane Utamudarikwa told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the budget proposal is sound.
We owe IMF, we owe other creditors, and as the government has agreed to pay. That agreement alone to say, as the government, we want to pay, we'll bring in FDI.
But some critics of Mr. Chinamasa are saying that the government is not doing much to resuscitate the economy because there's not much that is in the budget for infrastructure development, for example.
The issue of infrastructure development is critical here. But also what we have managed to achieve in that national budget is we have stopped importing. We had a propensity of importing. We were importing left, right, and center. Now government has banned the importation of wheat. How many tons of wheat are consumed a day? What it means is the milling industry is now going to start operating. Those who have been retrained in the milling industry are going to be employed. I hope they will eventually, when they do, such an instrument, ban all the importation of vegetables. Here in Murewa, Mutoko, basically Mashona and this, we produce a lot of vegetables. And we are competing with GMOs from South Africa.
Uzumba Member of Parliament Simbane Utamudarikwa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Blessing also reached MDCT Kwadzana East legislator Nelson Chamisa, who says the budget is not inspiring.
Well, a big disappointment, an unsure, in fact, high-sounding nothing, full of empty promises, no serious and commitment. When one looks at the critical issues affecting Zimbabwe, the first fundamental issue we must tackle is the issue of the stability of government. We have an unstable government, an unstable governing party, which is incapable of coming up with a stable budget and stable policy. We have a government that has a lot of policy inconsistencies. They indicate left and turn right. A lot of double speak from ministers. Minister Chinamasa says this, Joao says that, Kasukwere is not saying anything. So there's a lot of contradiction even in the cockpit.
those who are backing Mr. Chinamasa are saying the budget actually promotes foreign direct investment and savings.
There is a difference between showing intention to want to do something and promoting something. Clearly, what we may say is a positive, is the language that we are beginning to hear, progressive language, language to engage, language to invite, language to open Zimbabwe for business. That is a positive, but it's not enough.
MDC Kwadzana East Legislator Nelson Chamisa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Leader of the opposition Mavambo Kusile Don and former Finance Minister Simba Makoni concurs with Chamisa, saying the budget proposal is off the mark.
The issue is not the numbers. The issue is acknowledging that the country is in crisis and you take measures that solve the crisis. The first level of crisis is the crisis of confidence. But more importantly, people are enduring extreme hardships in their lives every day. People are living in fear of harassment and victimization every day. And no amount of dollars will solve these problems I'm talking about. So accepting that the budget is not the instrument for solving the democratic deficit and the violence and intimidation, maintaining a budget that spends 80% on salaries and wages of people who are not doing anything is totally ludicrous. So he should have started by cutting his suit according to his cloth, which means basically living within our means.
Leader of the opposition Mavambo Kusile Don and former Finance Minister Simba Makoni speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa says the government is doing all it can to relax the ease of doing business in Zimbabwe as it seeks to attract and keep foreign investors in the country. Ivan Chifera has details from the capital.
Officially opening a Pillars of Peace initiative for Southern Africa meeting, Mnangagwa said Zimbabwe realizes that there is so much competition for foreign investors in the world that it is doing all it can to up its game by removing bottlenecks that are keeping investors away. He said Zimbabwe is overhauling all pieces of legislation that hinder business or scare away potential investors, among them the indigenization laws.
We are competing for capital with the rest of the world, and the capital will grow where it feels more comfortable. So we need to create an environment where capital will find comfort in Zimbabwe.
He said the government is taking serious steps to enhance the business environment in the country.
Zimbabwe is determined to rout and eradicate the scourge of corruption, a cancer that threatens peace and development in our society.
Maintaining peace, Mnangagwa said, will ensure accelerated economic development, adding, that's one major reason why Zimbabwe maintains good relations with its neighbors, as well as avoiding conflict at all costs. But businessman and former Harare Mayor Muchadema Sunda said, while the government's intentions were good, what is required urgently is action on the ground. He said events and discord on the ground in ZANU-PF conflict Mnangagwa's statements.
And there are many examples that I can give of things that have happened recently that have put the country's economy in an even more greater risk. The Telcel transaction is a classic example of that. Government is the regulator and it should stick to the business of regulating. Government has got no business wanting to invest in Telcel, and we'll just see what's going to happen in the next couple of months.
He said police inconsistencies and the ongoing harassment of companies scare foreign companies from coming to Zimbabwe. National Peace Trust Executive Director Tras Mamombe said the meeting aims to come up with initiatives that will ensure the peace enjoyed in Zimbabwe and the region endures.
We want to identify things that we need to do so that the relative peace that we are enjoying remains sustainable and durable. In other words, issues of business, sound business environment, the equitable distribution of resources, the free flow of information, good neighborliness, the respect of the rights of others. Those are important pillars of peace that we need to work on, that we need to strengthen, that we need to enhance.
Top government ministers, local and regional academics, and ambassadors from Australia, Zambia, and Botswana are attending the two-day meeting. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Zimbabwe kicks off the hosting of ICASA conference on Sunday. But first, a look at regional and international news. Pope Francis, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, has called on the youth of Kenya to eschew tribalism and make the choice to listen and reach out to one another. He addressed tens of thousands of young Africans at Kenya's Kasarani Stadium today before heading to Uganda. Special forces in Mali have arrested two men in connection with last week's attack on a luxury hotel in Bamako that left 19 people dead. A statement from the military today said both men were arrested in Bamako and said questioning them will shed more light on the motivations of the attackers, but did not specify exactly how they are believed to be connected to the attack. And Chicago police say they have made an arrest in the shooting death of a 9-year-old boy whose alleged gang-related slaying has sparked outrage in that city. Next week is a busy week for Zimbabwe as it prepares to host the president of China, Xi Jinping, and also a week-long international conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa, or ICASA. The 18th ICASA conference, which will take place at the Rainbow Towers in Harare, is considered the biggest AIDS conference in Africa, coinciding with the World AIDS Day on December 1st. An estimated 10,000 delegates comprising various stakeholders in the fight against the pandemic are expected to attend the conference, whose theme this year is AIDS in Post-2015 Era, Linking Leadership, Science and Human Rights. The conference aims to renew global commitment to reduce the spread of the pandemic, which is seeing reversal of gains in some groups, particularly the youth. People with disabilities say it is important for the forthcoming ICASA to take note of their concerns, especially issues around reproductive health. As Safari Njema reports, people with disabilities say they want to be fully involved and consulted in discussions of HIV and sexually transmitted infections.
The ICASA conference, which begins Sunday, is an opportunity for all stakeholders involved in the fight against the deadly HIV virus to join efforts in committing to achieving an AIDS-free Africa. One of the senators who represents people with disabilities in the House of Assembly, Nyamayavo Mashavakure, says the goal for an AIDS-free Africa can only be achieved if people with disabilities are fully involved at every level.
The disabled themselves, they need information on sexual and reproductive health. They need information about sexually transmitted infections. They need information about HIV and AIDS. They also need to know how and where to access any remedial processes that may be available.
Senator Mashavakure says people with disabilities have sexual needs just like anybody else. He says those with disabilities are better placed to talk about HIV/AIDS and sexually transmitted infections instead of having others speak on their behalf.
Disabled people, just like anybody else, are humans and they are susceptible to infections from sexually transmitted diseases and HIV and AIDS and any other disease. So they should not be surprised to find that one of the days they encounter, maybe at a clinic or somewhere else, a person with a disability suffering from an infection which they might have thought could not be associated with a disabled person.
A member of the National Disability Board, Lillian Guanyanya, says women with disabilities are the worst affected by HIV/AIDS because many of them are single mothers. She says it is important for organizers of ICASA to ensure the voices of women with disabilities are heard during the conference.
There is a bond between disability and HIV and AIDS because someone with a disability is someone who is vulnerable. With a disability, you are vulnerable to catch a lot of diseases if you are a woman. Because I'm saying women with disabilities, if you look at it in society, you find that most of them are not married, but they are mothers with children. So it means they are sexually active. And being sexually active, it means they need to be educated on HIV, AIDS, and STIs to protect them. And there, ICASA here has come at the right moment.
Zimbabwe Health Minister Dr. David Parerenyatwa, who is scheduled to speak on the opening day of ICASA, says while Zimbabwe has done a lot to stem the spread of HIV, it can do more. He says the country has now to open discussion on tackling homosexuality and prostitution as key areas of vulnerability in the fight against HIV/AIDS.
We've not done enough. We think we have, but you haven't. Yes, we've disseminated information, but if you go to growth points now, it's still a challenge. People who sell sex, don't arrest them. That's not the answer. The correctional services, where men are having sex with men, to me, it's a key population. Those are what you should be looking at. So those are the areas, I think, that we need to look at and be able to address in an open manner.
Pastor Thomas Mchadenyika is a professional counselor for youths with disabilities in Harare. He says the conference should seek a solution for those who are visually impaired, who have no access to braille materials on HIV, and those who are deaf, who do not get enough information on HIV/AIDS and STIs. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
In 2015 was an extremely challenging and difficult year for most Zimbabweans, according to a public meeting held last night in Harare by the Mass Public Opinion Institute. Patricia Mdadigwa reports.
As the formal economy continued to nosedive, with intra- and inter-party violence dominating the political front, 2015 has indeed been a difficult year for ordinary Zimbabweans, with prospects for 2016 looking gloom as the government struggles to find solutions to the country's problems, according to panelists at the Mboi meeting. Speakers at the public meeting titled "The Ups and Downs of 2015 and a Prognosis for 2016 agreed that 2015 is ending on a sad note, with many Zimbabweans struggling in every aspect of their lives. Takura Jangaja, an independent analyst, told the meeting that, above all the other challenges faced during the year, the failure by the government to cater for young people could be described as the gravest mistake ever.
Until we start concentrating on their key concerns, particularly access to health, access to education, access to jobs, we are not going to progress as a country. We have to take our young people much, much more seriously.
Shangasha said the failure by the government to address issues of climate change also spells doom for Zimbabweans who depend on an agro-based economy.
Essentially what we have not done is we have not taken climate change and climate change issues as seriously as we should. In fact, if anything, there should have been a minister of climate change altogether in the cabinet to demonstrate the level of seriousness that we want to tackle our challenges of droughts, which are now more regular than they were before.
For Movement for Democratic Change spokesperson Obet Gutu, the budget presented yesterday reflects a gloomy 2016. For Gutu, 2016 will be another difficult year for Zimbabweans.
This economy is in a serious deflation mode, and unless something is done, and something is done urgently, we are actually heading for a crisis in 2016 going forward.
However, for Jacob Mafume, the spokesperson for People's Democratic Party, PDP, says while 2015 was bad, it also had its own positives.
There were some positive judgments from the Constitutional Court. One of them was the striking down of Section 121, which was used a lot against activists by the prosecution after the activist has been granted bail. The prosecutor would then invoke Section 121 to keep the person in jail. That was declared illegal. Then there were some insult laws about insulting the president and insulting the police, which were removed from our statutes.
The Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Social and Economic Transformation, ZIMSA, said, so far failing to create the 2.2 million jobs promised by President Robert Mugabe during the 2013 elections, with over 20,000 jobs being lost in a short period of time as companies took advantage of a court ruling to lay off employees. The panelists agreed that it may take time for Zimbabwe to get back to the good old times where everyone looked forward to the end of the year and the beginning of a new one. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
And in our sports segment, the Sports and Recreation Commission today announced the finalists for the 2015 Annual National Sports Awards. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us who is there.
The battle for the top award will be between boxer Charles Manucci and six-time winner Kirsty Coventry after the two were nominated in their various categories. The chairman of the judges panel, Titus Romuya, revealed that Manucci, who is the reigning sportsperson of the year, has been nominated among the finalists for the Sportsman of the Year award.
The first candidate there is Chingojoro Admire from karate. The second candidate is Manucci Charles from boxing. And the third candidate is Mhlanga Tangai Mighty from karate.
Coventry, who is arguably Zimbabwe's greatest ever sportsperson, has been nominated among the finalists for the Sportswoman of the Year Award.
Sportswoman of the Year category. The first candidate there is Coventry Kirsty from swimming. The second candidate is Sinclair Helen Costa from bodybuilding. And the third candidate is Thornycroft Machine from rowing.
The winners of the various 16 categories will be vetted from where the overall Sportsperson of the Year Award winner will be crowned from. All national sports associations were asked to submit their perceived outstanding athletes to be considered for the awards. However, Zomuya said they were very disappointed that some of the associations were not very, very cooperative.
There were a few associations that did not meet the deadline and one or two that did not even submit, and we want to continue encouraging those associations to please submit their nominations.
The Zimbabwe women's soccer team, the Mighty Warriors, are favourites to win the Team of the Year award following their qualification to the 2016 Rio Olympic Games in Brazil. The award winners will be announced on a day still to be made public by the Sport and Recreation Commission. Now to the game of football. Tomorrow, the curtain comes down on the 16-team Castle Lager Premier Soccer League assembly with the crowning of Chicken Inn as Zimbabwe champions in their game against Flame Lily at Lafarge Stadium. The Gamecocks won the championship last week, but had to wait for another week to receive their trophy from Delta Beverages Marketing Director Maxen Karombo. The Zimbabwean champions, however, will have to wait a bit longer to receive their $100,000 prize money, which will be handed to them at a party to be hosted by Delta on December 13. However, focus of attention is on who will go down to Division 1 is either Cholocho Pirates on 30 points or Buffaloes on 29 points will be relegated. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thank you, Cariati. And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with you and experts about the 2016 budget proposal. Now to recap today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe arrives in Paris, France, for the United Nations Climate Change Summit, where world leaders are seeking to stop global warming. The Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe blasts journalists who accepted food hampers from First Lady Grace Mugabe, saying the move is unethical and disgraceful. And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.